I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have failed to live for you in the things I say and do, and have fallen short of living in your love. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross and empty grave for my soul. I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have placed myself above and have hurt the ones I love. And I know that only you can set me free. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross, an empty grave for my soul. Take us back to the water, wash away our sins. Welcome us, O Father, back to your home again. Bless your sons and your daughters, and let the feast begin. Let it begin. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross and empty grave for my soul.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You take us back to the water, you wash away our sins. You welcome us, O Father, back to your home again. You bless your sons and your daughters, now let the feast begin, let it begin. Lord, your mercy covers. For my soul, Lord, your mercy covers me. Lord, your mercy set me free. You've forgiven me today, and my sins are washed away by the cross and empty grave for my soul.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart. A reading from Romans. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like transgressions of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "You are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have two rules: have fun and move. These were the instructions my Zumba instructor gave to me on the first class I took this week. Yes, you heard that right. I took a Zumba class this week. And I thought to myself, these are words that I should embody in my own ministry. It was a reminder and affirmation on how orthopraxis, right practice, can lead to orthodoxy, right understanding. In this case, how right practice in time will lead to the right moves when going through a Zumba routine. As the season of Lent is underway, I've encountered lifelong Christians who are unsure about what they were going to give up for Lent this year. I've even encountered new Lutherans that were not sure what they were going to do and wanted to sit back and take in this whole season. Have fun and move. That might alleviate some of the stress. We put so much pressure on ourselves to make sure we're getting things right at times, to make sure we're doing it right, make sure we understand it all. Yet in our lesson from Romans today, Paul is laying out two kingdoms. The kingdom of sin and death, in reference to our first lesson in Genesis, which speaks to our human condition, and the kingdom of grace that we have in Jesus Christ. We have grace. We don't have to worry about getting it all right, that we're doing it all right. Lent and the Christian life overall is about immersing oneself and drawing others into the kingdom of grace that we have in Jesus Christ. But sadly, we may not just complicate it for ourselves, we also might create barriers for others to experience the kingdom of grace. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, we hear that where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. our response to God's grace should not be burden, but opportunity. Not a feeling of anxiety and fear, but a feeling of freedom and love. So can we extend that grace to ourselves and others? We don't need to find the perfect spiritual practice or discipline. We do not need to find the perfect thing to take on or to abstain from. Can we have fun and move? Move to the voice of our Savior that forgives our sins. Move to the one who sustains us in the Word and feeds us with the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of Holy Communion. Then whatever practices we take on individually and collectively, what we're ultimately desiring, what we ultimately want to get out of it, is a deeper relationship with God, our family in Christ, and our neighbors. So whether you gave up sweets, increased volunteering, or focusing on your prayer life or reading your Bible more, what we want is to deepen those relationships. And when we do, we're immersing ourselves in that very kingdom of grace. Because when I was thinking about the grace my Zumba instructor gave me to just kind of keep moving, she's totally right. Because you know what? Overall, the reason why I entered the class was because I wanted a fun way to do cardio. So I didn't have to think about it. At my annual physical, my doctor is only going to be interested in how many times a week I'm active. She isn't going to ask me, nor is she going to care whether or not I nailed the entire Zumba routine to the latest Miley Cyrus song. Right? That's not on her radar. She's just going to ask that question. So it isn't about what you're giving up or what you're taking on. It's about deepening your relationship with God. And is what you are doing helping with that? Have fun and just move. Now, I can only imagine why my Zumba instructor needs to have those two rules. I think we can all agree it's because there have been exercise instructors in the past and the present that have made people feel like they don't fit or belong in this class. You can create an environment that tells someone they don't belong without telling them they do not belong. And in the context of exercise classes, if you feel that you can't keep up, if you're not moving in unison and uniformity, you're just going to feel like, you know what, this just isn't for me. Now, you think we've created that same exact environment in the church at times? That if people aren't moving along in unison or in uniformity, they can't keep up, they just say, this isn't for me, I don't belong here. We don't even have to tell them they don't belong here. You bet we have. Can we meet people where they are at and give them room and space to grow? And that's what I mean earlier by orthopraxis can lead to orthodoxy. Because oftentimes in the church and our culture in recent history, we wanted to make sure people have the right understanding of everything before they can participate. But like the Zumba class, I could participate and I can learn as I go. The instructor met me where I was at, giving me room to grow, giving me grace to extend to myself. And she wasn't watering anything down. She was just meeting me where I was at. Because the instructor was clear. I have modified moves that I'm going to show, and then I have the regular moves that I'm going to do. And she's also been trained to do this, right? So it's not an invitation to anything goes. There's still structure and order. There's also a desire to be in community, to have some kind of accountability, right? To encourage each other along the way. We might not always be in sync, but the life of the church is to ensure that we're, at the end, not lost, wandering in the wilderness, but moving along the way of Jesus. We're not watering anything down when we find different ways to do Bible study, curriculums that vary by age groups, or ministries to particular populations because we desire to meet them where they are at. At least that's what the mission of the church should be doing. Taking the good news and meeting people where they are, But knowing our past and present, that's not always the case. In Romans chapter 5, verse 18, that we heard today, we heard that therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all. That is good news. And we want people to move towards that good news, to move towards the joy that we have in the cross of Christ, that they would immerse themselves in that kingdom of grace. And we can have the right understanding, but not embody the right spirit that leads people to the kingdom of grace, but rather to the kingdom of sin and death. In our gospel lesson, the devil is tempting Jesus. The devil knows scripture. For instance, when the devil invites Jesus to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple, he says, he will command these angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. That's Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. Didn't change anything. It's true. But the devil is using scripture to get in the way of God's kingdom of grace. There are instructors and participants of exercise classes that can flawlessly nail every move. But how they use that knowledge, that gift, and ability to not expand that to the benefit of others, but to alienate them, is then wrong. There are clergy and laity in the church that know Bible, dogma and doctrine, forwards and backwards. But if they do not use it to meet people where they're at, they use it to gatekeep. If they use it not to enable people to grow, they are sending a message that you don't belong here. Right understanding does not automatically equate to faithfulness. Meeting people where they are at and meeting them with the good news that through the cross there is life and grace abounds is imperative. As we follow Jesus from his obedience in the wilderness and can see his faithfulness on the cross, we know that we are free from the need to have to get it all right or have things to be done in our lives or in the church perfectly. Let us give people the freedom and the space to just start moving in their life of discipleship. And that freedom will enable them to grow deeper, allowing them to participate in the life of the church and to practice their faith. A deeper understanding will come along the way. Meeting people where they're at and having an environment where they know that they are loved, where they know that they belong, that enables them to grow in their relationship with God, to grow in their relationship with other Christians, and also with their neighbors. It enables them to know that grace abounds, and that through the righteousness of Christ, we have life. Meeting people where they're at and giving ourselves grace pulls us out of the wilderness and onto the path that is the way of Jesus. As Jesus demonstrates in the wilderness, his way is not a way that is caught up in the miraculous, the spectacle, or political power. He rejects all three of those temptations. And it's on the cross that he shows us the power of love that even death cannot destroy. Beloved children of God, the kingdom of grace is breaking into this world. Have fun. And move to the way of Jesus. Have fun and move in response to the love of God that is without end. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the Church, the world, and all of creation. You alone are God. Sustain your church in times of wilderness. Give vision and wisdom to bishops, their staff, and all entrusted with the ministry of administration. Counsel all who faithfully lead your people into the future. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Merciful God, you create verdant gardens and expansive deserts. Tend to the needs of every living creature. Bless those who work in fields and orchards, that the world is nourished by the fruits of their labor. Merciful God, you know our temptations. Sustain those who govern and legislate. Instill in them a sense of your justice and righteousness, that equity and peace would pervade all the regions and nations of the world. Merciful God, you are a hiding place for all in distress. Draw near to exiles and accompany all refugees and immigrants, especially children who travel alone. In times of trouble, trauma, or illness, surround your people with your steadfast love. Especially we pray for all those impacted by the train derailment in East Palestine. Justin, Tracy, Mike, Scott and Connie, Donna, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, the family of Evelyn Long, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, the family of Tim Schertzer, the family of Cindy Travis, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God, you offer abundance to all. Bless the ministries of hospitality in this place. Care for those who tend to the needs of others. Merciful God, you alone are God. We praise you for the faithful departed in every age, especially Evelyn, Tim, and Cindy. Unite our prayers with theirs until our wilderness journey is complete and we rest in you. Merciful God,
prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew the whole creation through Jesus Christ our Savior. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
As we are starting our season of Lent, we haven't done it in a while. I figured it would be a good opportunity to reintroduce sharing the sign of peace with those around us. So you may share the sign of peace with one another.
Peace be with you.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us in these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Indeed, right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people to the wilderness, to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With Evelyn, Tim, Cindy, your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. Instructions for the distribution of Holy Communion Something else that we have not done in a while is we're going to be kneeling around the altar. So an usher will release you forward, and you'll kneel around the altar. I will have the consecrated host. Mark, our assisting minister, will have the chalice of consecrated wine. An usher will have the chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. We're also going to use a method known as intinction. So you'll receive the consecrated host, and you'll dip it into either the chalice of wine or grape juice. If for some reason you receive it before dip, we got plenty. Just have fun, right? Just move. We'll figure it out, all right? These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you. Keep.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thanks be to God.